This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/campfire and enter the promo code CAMPFIRE. Thanks, Casper.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. We took a week off, and we are back in the saddle here in the campfire, ready for some great campfire stories. But first, I wanted to say, Autumn requested that I give a big birthday shout out to her dad. His birthday is on Sunday, May 9th. So his name's Carlston. So Carlston, thank you for listening. I know you and Autumn are both loyal listeners to the program, so I hope that this birthday is the best one ever. I'd sing a few bars of happy birthday, but I think there's some rights issues involved or something. But there's your birthday shout out, Carlston. Have a great one. And I hope that we'll add a little to the birthday spirit with a great campfire show and these campfire stories. Next up is Heather from Michigan. She's been listening for 6 months, storyteller, Paranormal Plus Club member. So she's invested in the shows and we appreciate that so much. And she has a touching story about her grandpa. And she's going to tell us about it. Heather, thank you for joining us and please tell us your story.
No problem. Okay, so I guess I'll start with a little background. My grandpa died, my dad's dad, when I was around 12. They were the best of friends. He was my dad's best man at his wedding. And they spent like every weekend together. They lived a couple hours away from us, but we spent every weekend driving up and visiting him. When he passed away, my dad was obviously devastated. And my grandpa was not really materialistic. Mm-hmm. There was one item he had that he had with him at all times, though, and it was a ring that he had gotten in World War II, I think in India.
Okay.
And when he passed away, since that was so special to him, his brothers and sisters and my grandma decided to give it to him. So he really only wore it or wears it at like special occasions, holidays, weddings, or funerals. And it was one summer I lost one of my cousins and we went up a couple hours away to the funeral. Mm-hmm. About 6 months later, around Christmas, my dad, we're all sitting around the table, and he told us that he had lost the ring, that he had torn the house apart trying to find it for months, that him and my mom had like pretty much turned the house upside down. They've emptied every dresser in the house, looked underneath the beds, everything. And he kind of had tears in his eyes telling us, and he said, you know, I think I've lost it. I think I left it up north when we went to the funeral. And I promised him that next time I came over, I was going to come look for it because it really bothered me. I realized a few months later, just before I went to bed, that I had never came back over to look for the ring. So I thought of that just before I went to sleep. And that night I had a dream and it woke me up out of a dead sleep. And it was one of those where you wake up and you gasp, you sit straight up and you gasp. And I had this dream that I woke up and I didn't have any peripheral vision. I could only see right in front of me.
Huh.
And, everything was black on the sides of me. And I knew I was in my parents' house. I knew I should be sleeping and I knew they were sleeping and I didn't know how I got there. Cause the last I remembered I was in my apartment.
Right.
So I'm looking around and all of a sudden over my right shoulder, I hear my grandpa's voice. And what was weird is there's certain things about someone's voice, if you haven't heard it in for so long, that you forget, you know, and
right.
The way they pronounce words. And like, as soon as he spoke, it all came back, things that I had just forgotten about. And I remember I turned to look at him and he wouldn't let me turn around. And he just said, no, go to the dresser. And so I was in my bedroom and I went to the dresser and I started opening a drawer. He said, no, the other dresser. So I'm walking down the hallway, knowing that my parents are sleeping, and I'm walking to the room next to theirs, trying to be really quiet. And I start opening up a drawer and he says, no, you need to go to the top left dresser drawer. Like, okay. So I go to the top left dresser drawer and I open it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm without speaking, I kind of said to him, I guess it was telepathically, I don't know, that there's nothing in there. And he said, it's in there. You need to get in there. And so I put my hand in there and nothing. And my grandpa was really, really calm forever when he was alive, the most calm man I know. And at this point in my dream, he got really frustrated with me. And he said, no, it's stuck in the back left corner. You need to get in there. I'm like, okay. So I put my hand in there and I feel nothing. And he says, you need to get this pen. There was a pen on top of the desk. He says, put it in the top left corner. It's stuck.
This is so specific. This is so specific.
Yeah, very specific. So I put this pen in there and I pull it out. Nothing. He said, it's stuck. It's stuck in there. So I put the pen in one last time. And when I pulled the pen out, my grandpa's ring was on it and I woke straight up. I called my dad that morning right away. First thing, he was on his way to work and I told him and he kind of laughed and he goes, well, I wish I could tell you that's where it is, but I've emptied that entire dresser. I know it's not there. I'm like, okay, well, I just thought I'd tell you. Later that night, I got a call from him and he just, the tone in his voice was one I've never heard before. Like he was just like shocked, like he'd seen a ghost. And he goes, Heather said, so I was in that room and I was looking at the dresser and I thought, well, I'll give it a try. So he opened the drawer and unbeknownst to me, that dresser drawer, the top left one my grandpa told me to look in, is broken. It doesn't open all the way. So my dad tried to open it and he couldn't get it to open. And sure enough, there was a pen on top of the dresser, just like in my dream. And he took the pen and he wiggled it around, nothing. And he remembered my grandpa was adamant that it was stuck in the left corner.
Right.
So he wiggled it around the left corner. And when he pulled the pen out, the ring was on it.
Wow.
And there
wow.
it was. Wow. Yeah. It was
wow,
incredible.
What a great
so
story.
He found the ring. Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, I can't explain it. I have no idea how that happened. Yeah.
Well, I know crazy. How it happened. Your grandpa right. got a message to you. That's how it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, to this day, wow. it's crazy, you know, to think that those that have passed on are so involved in our lives that they know when we've lost something, it can help us find it stuck in a drawer, you know, like that's kind of, calming.
Well, the thing I got to say there is, you know, what can a skeptic say to that? I mean, either it happened.
Right.
I mean, I'll say this very honestly. Either you're telling the truth or not. And I believe you're telling the truth.
Right.
So what other explanation is there? It isn't, well, I mean, there isn't any other logical explanation. Right. It happened.
I know.
And your grandpa was trying to get a message to you. I love it. I love that story.
Yeah.
Well, I know it took us a little while to connect, but it was well worth it. Heather, thank you for being a part of the campfire tonight. What a great story.
Thank you.
Our return caller, John from Indiana. Now, he's been with us a long time, I think back to the very early days of the campfire. In fact, he called in 2011. So he really, he's kind of a lifer, and we really appreciate people who stick with it and keep listening. And he has story about some recurring dreams, and he's going to share those with us. John from Indiana, welcome back, and please tell us about these dreams.
Thank you, Jim. I don't exactly remember exactly when they started. I know it was shortly after my grandpa died, and that was, I was back about 2004, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept, like, every one of my dreams consisted of the same thing of, my grandpa was not dead. Like he was hiding out.
Huh.
And he kept telling, like in every dream, he was like, you know, I'm hiding from this or don't tell anybody I'm dead and whatnot. And it just kept going. Every dream like that was just repeated. Kept going and kept going. And I'm not sure. I wish I knew why I was having those dreams, but there was like, when he died, there was some animosity between like my family and my grandma. And that went away. But one night, like the very last dream I remember having of him, he was at my other grandpa's funeral. I was sitting, like we was in the, I guess you'd say audience. That's the best word I could think of. And he was sitting there and I went up to look at my, you know, pay my last respects to my other grandpa. And when I turned around and walked back, I seen my grandpa Wes there. And when I went up to say something, he looked at me And his eyes were, the best way I could say it was like they was black, but they was also had like that snowy look, like when a TV goes off air.
Oh my.
And he just looked at me and it was just like, it felt evil for some reason. And which something my grandpa wasn't. I mean, he was, you know, he was a good guy. But I told him, like, right there, I was like, you're not who you say you are. You're not my grandpa. You're something different. And from there on out, like, I rarely have dreams of him anymore. It, I don't know. It freaked me out. It, I don't know why I would dream that. It got so weird. Like, I even put I thought maybe he was, like, I don't know, really like a spirit in my house. Like I put a piece of paper and like pen out, kind of, I guess, hoping for, I don't know, a message from him, but nothing. I mean, after that, it was nothing. It was the weirdest, and I have pretty vivid dreams. And it was probably the scariest dream I think I've ever had.
Now, so you think this was some kind of imposter spirit?
I think so, or something to the effect, because I don't know why he would be telling me he was hiding out and, you know, like faked his own death. And then all of a sudden, kind of like, it was almost kind of like he was trying to tell me something. And then the very last, you know, real major dream, and these dreams went on for years. And then the last major dream was like, he was just an evil type being. I don't know, maybe like he was death himself in that dream, just there waiting for my other grandpa, you know, there making sure my other grandpa was gone, but it wasn't good. It was not good at all.
I was about to say, you know, a lot of these dreams, a lot of times people have of deceased relatives, loved ones who have passed, they'll describe them as comforting, you know, makes them feel better. It sounds like that's not the case in this scenario.
No, it's not. And a weird thing is, like, my brother had similar dreams of my grandpa saying he wasn't, you know, he wasn't dead. He faked his death. But my brother hasn't had any more dreams like that for a while.
When you both had those dreams, had you relayed to each other? Did you have the dreams, or did you have them independently without knowledge of the other?
It was independently.
Wow.
Like, me and my brother don't get to talk very often. And I'd always be hesitant to bring it up because it just, you know, it just felt weird talking about it. They kind of were comforting at first, but I don't know why he would be trying to tell me, you know, maybe he's okay. Cause I don't really believe in an app. I think there's something after we die, but I'm not sure what, but if it's like evil like that, I'm not sure if I want to know.
Yeah, that's frightening. That's frightening. And that's the thing that worries me sometimes when we think we're getting a message from loved ones. I think those things are possible, and I do think they happen. I don't think everything that people hear from is negative or a demon or anything like that. But I do think there are some times when something can claim to be Aunt Millie, and it might not be. It might be something else just trying to kind of prey on that sensitivity at the time.
Exactly. I totally agree. Cause like right when I called him out in the dream, it looked at me like, you know, like I caught it in the act, like I seen something I shouldn't have.
Right.
And like I said, since then I have sporadic dreams now every once in a while, but it's nothing like him telling me he's hiding out or anything like that. It's just more like old memories now.
Mm-hmm.
So it is definitely the most weirdest thing I've ever experienced.
It seems strange.
Or at least one of them.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure. Well, John, thank you so much for sticking with us all these years and for once again coming on the show and sharing your campfire story.
Oh, not a problem, Jim. Thank you.
This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. Now, they are revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you, the consumer. I love my Casper, and really the technology and the engineering that goes behind it, I love it. It's obsessively engineered at a very fair price. It provides long-lasting comfort and support. And my Casper, well, it's so soft and comfortable, it is just perfect. And you can buy it easily online, completely risk-free. Really try sleeping on a Casper mattress. And I don't mean by walking in some showroom and lying on it for 5 minutes. You can't do that. No. What about this? What about truly trying on a mattress that you spend a third of your life on? Well, Casper knows that's important. So you can actually try a Casper mattress for 100 days. Get that. Free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. That's something else. So you don't have to lie down in a showroom with some salesperson lording over you and having to make a snap decision on something, again, you're going to spend literally years on. You know, statistically, lying on a bed in a showroom has absolutely no correlation to whether it's the right bed for you. And I'm always glad to say Casper mattresses are made in the USA. So I've got a great deal for you. Now, Casper mattresses are very, very competitive in general, an outstanding price point. But because you are a Campfire listener, you can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going over to casper.com/campfire. That's casper.com/campfire and entering the promo code campfire. One more time. That's casper.com/campfire. Use that promo code campfire. Terms and conditions apply. Got to tell you, I love my Casper. You're going to love yours. Check it out. 100 days risk-free. Can you do any better? I don't think so. Casper.com/campfire and use that promo code campfire to get $50 off. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks, Casper. Steven is on the line from Michigan. He's a fairly new listener, 3 months now. Found us via iTunes when they did their Scary Stories feature and featured our podcasts, among other several fine podcasts. We were honored by that. And we're honored that Steven not only became a listener, but felt so compelled that he decided to become a storyteller as well. Steven, welcome to the program. I understand this story relates to your teenage years. It sounds quite chilling. Tell us happened.
Well, it was a big fan of the podcast, by the way. I'm loving all the stories.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Let me first start out by saying that all my life I have been, I've had an irrational fear of the dark. Even when I was in my teenage years and it was really embarrassing, I've always had a fear of the dark and I never knew why. Mm-hmm. But at one point in my life, we had bought a house. My dad had divorced from my mother and he bought a house, oddly enough, right down the road from her just to piss her off, I think. I'm sorry if I can I say
you could say it. I have to bleep it because of iTunes, but
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I'll keep it clean. He bought a house. It was a small A-frame. And even in that house, I always got a creepy feeling. But eventually he decided to expand. He worked for GM. I live in Flint, Michigan right now. So the scariest thing in my life currently is the water.
I was wondering about that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But anyway, we built a new house on the same property, tore down the A-frame, and the new house we moved into, it was great. It was nice. But very, very soon afterwards, my bedroom, my dad allowed me to decorate. He said, pick a theme, do whatever you want to it. This is your room. I believe I was about 14, 15 at the time. I was really big into anime and Japanese culture. So I went for an Oriental theme. I had, you know, bonsai trees. I had decorations along the wall and I had a hardwood floor. So that hardwood floor plays into the story because a few months afterwards, I was trying to go to sleep and I was very, I'm going to say creeped out that night. But I started to calm down. I was just about to drift off to sleep, and I heard what was undeniably the sound of something scratching on my wood floor. And now I do have to give a disclaimer. I had a dog at the time, but the dog always slept downstairs in my parents' room, was nowhere near me, nowhere near a hardwood floor. And this was undeniably the sound of scratching. I'm going to try and give you an example here. I don't have any wood in front of me, but it was essentially... Oh, let me try that again.
Ooh. Ew.
Yeah, right? Three very distinct, very clear scratches right around, if I had to guess, where the doorway was. Now, I'm not going to lie. This creeped the crap out of me. It took me a long time to get to sleep that night. Eventually, I just told myself, you know what? It's a newer house. We've only had it up for a few months. It's got to be the house settling. That or like a mouse or a rat or something. So I went to bed. About a week, maybe 2 weeks later, I heard it again. Three very distinct scratches, only this time it was closer. They were closer to my bed. And I had to rule out the fact that it was my imagination. I really had no reason to believe that it was the house settling. I really don't know why scratching would be part of the house settling. And I couldn't really in good conscience think it was some sort of a rodent because it was the same pattern every time. It was three very distinct scratches, timed about the same way. And I'm not going to lie, I just about peed myself.
I think incontinence would be an option at that point.
Exactly. And, you know, being I about this point, I believe I was 15. And I'm not going to lie, I felt silly. I was terrified, but I felt silly. You know, I'm a teenage boy going through that period. You got, you know, that machismo, the hormones going on. And it was something I felt like I shouldn't be afraid of. But at the same time, I was. And this went on for months. And every time I heard it, it wouldn't always happen, you know, like a week later, 2 weeks later, but it would always happen fairly regularly. And every time it would get closer. And at this point, I was keeping track of it. I was listening for how close it sounded. And every time, three distinct scratches on my hardwood floor. And it sounded just like the talons of some sort of an animal.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. The culmination of it was one night, and it had only happened, I believe, a week prior to this night. So it wasn't that long. Actually, it was less than a week. I think it was only like 2 or 3 days prior. And I was lying in bed, and I heard it closer than it had ever been. Three distinct scratches. And I stopped. And I took a deep breath and I told myself, Steve, this is absolutely ridiculous. You're 15 years old. You're a teenager. You're not a kid. You know damn well there's nothing in the dark that's going to get you. This is entirely your imagination. You're safe. This is in your mind. Literally the moment I said the words, this is in your mind, at the very foot of my bed, closer than it had ever been. I'm talking the very foot of my bed. I heard like a series, a flurry of scratches as loud and as violent as it sounded like something was trying to pry up the floorboards. I believe I may have peed myself at that point. But what I did was I leapt out of bed. I said, nope, I'm done. Jumped out of bed, ran into the living room, and I spent the better part of a year sleeping on the couch. Believing my dad had no idea, but he told me later he knew I was doing it, and he had no idea why. Now, he knew that I had anxiety problems. I had, you know, problems with the dark, but I don't think he really realized the extent of it. And no one else in my family had experienced any problems with the house. They all loved it. Everything was fine, but I did not make this up. I know I didn't make it up, and I know it creeped the hell out of me. Now, there very well may be a natural explanation for it, but I'll be darned if I know what it was.
Wow.
And I can tell you that after that, after the year of sleeping on the couch, I eventually did venture back into the bedroom, mm-hmm. and it never happened again. I never had a problem after that.
Wow. What a story. And I've got to say this. You're the first person I can recall who has brought their own sound effects.
Why, thank you. Yes, I mean, it's something you really and that doesn't do it justice.
But I found it kind of chilling. I mean, at least it gives us a feel for what you were experiencing, and just to have something that visceral and the just the idea of those claws or talons or whatever scratching. Wow.
Oh, yeah. And, it was terrifying, but, you know, God love me, I haven't had that problem since, and I've been doing a lot better, so, you know, everything worked out for the best, but to this day, I have no idea what it was. There were no animals around. There were no rats, no mice. I checked. It just remains a mystery.
Wow. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for being a part of the campfire.
Why, thank you.
JTA from Austin, Texas, on the line. He's been listening for about a year. He is fully in. He's on the virtual campfire group. He's a Plus Club member. We're so appreciative for that. And I told him before we started, you know, I've done these shows for almost 11 years now. The campfire for almost, well, actually for, what, 7 years now. And I kind of think, oh, I've heard it all. And then somebody will call in and have a great experience, or maybe not so great, but just unique. And that's certainly the case here. I'm not going to spoil it. Something I've never heard of before, but pretty wild. JTA, welcome to the program today. Thanks for your support. And tell us this wild story.
Appreciate it, Jim. Well, this was about 3 years back that this happened. And so I am a freelance illustrator. And with that, I'm on all kinds of social networks. And I can't quite remember the name of the social network that I was on because I don't use it as much anymore. But it's basically like a Facebook for artists. And so on there, I connected with people from all around the world. I'm based, of course, in Austin, Texas. I met people from Spain and France and all over. I made one particular friend based in Malaysia. And so that particular friend is a graphic designer, and we became good friends on there, eventually exchanged Facebooks, and from there exchanged Skypes. And so we would have these video chats here and there. And from Austin to Malaysia, there's about a 12 to 14 hour time difference. So mm-hmm. like 3 p.m. over here, it's going to be 3 a.m. over there. So a lot of the times I would talk to her when it was mid-afternoon on my side, on her side, being mid of the night. So as we would, these talks would go on, she would tell me every so often, because it's always in the middle of the night, she had an apartment over there where she was that she shared with a roommate. And she would tell me these little things here and there about she would hear these footsteps in the background when her roommate was asleep, or the faucet would turn off and on, and she had these creepy feeling about the apartment and such. And so one time we were talking, and the faucet, she was by herself, and the faucet in the background, where her computer is located to where her bathroom, I think it was right next to her bedroom, she heard the faucet turn on and off and just started hearing all these noises. So me trying to be a knight in shiny armor, I was like, oh, well, you tell whatever over there that's bothering you to stop it. And that if it wants to bother somebody, to bother me. And mm-hmm. That was a really dumb thing to do, because we finished our talk, and she decided to get off because she was getting freaked out and whatever. And we had some nice words, and then that was that. So it was still about 3 p.m., 4 p.m. my time. So the day went by. Well, that night, went to bed, and it's I've had, I guess, where you wake up and you've had sleep paralysis or whatever, and you're not quite sure if you're awake or what have you. But I have had things and tell me stuff in these dreamlike situations, and
right.
So I know what that feels like. And I grew up in a haunted house where there's a different feeling, but this was really different for me because I woke up in a dreamlike state, but I was hit with immediate fear. And I thought I knew what fear was, but Like if something creeps you out or what have you, there's this sense of like up, you know, oncoming danger or what have you. But this was like, I woke up and I was just, I feared for my life. It was, it's hard to describe what that fear was, but it was different from anything I've ever experienced. And so, I have, this twin size bed that I sleep on. It's, I woke up in my bed and, I felt something on my legs. And so in my bed, I look over and this is enormous, like black figure that's on my legs. So it's there and I had drawn something and had submitted it to the group, but it had this like, someone had pointed out that it had like this, like in Asia and China, what they wear, the rice hats, the rice paddy hats. I can't remember what the exact name of it, but the shape of this black figure had this large, like almost umbrella top head. So it was just this black figure that I could not see any like details of, but it just had this weird, disfigured head shape. And so I'm looking at it, trying to figure out what's going on. And I think in blind fear, I called out to it. I mean, I live on my own, away from my folks, family, whatever, but I called out mom to it. I had no idea what to say. Yeah, I was like, my mom? And the thing that made it creepier was that it answered, yes, dear.
Oh, like, you just gave me chill. Yes. Oh, boy.
Yeah, yes, dear. And this growly voice, too, you know. And then, of course, you know, once it said that, oh, no, I'm totally wrong about that. You know, I mean, I already knew I was in the wrong, but then I just couldn't say anything else. And then from there, this thing, whatever it was, still on my legs. So I'm just stuck looking at it, frozen. And it tells me, you need to go back to sleep. And it kind of comes up toward me, like it's starting to reach towards my face now. And somewhere, I've never been in a fight or anything like that, but it's one of the things where you backed up in the corner, and it's either, I mean, you only have a couple options. So for some reason, I jumped up like half out of bed, and it's on my legs. So I reached up and I grabbed it with my arms, my hands. And I'm embracing it now, which, again, is a dumb thing. There's just a bunch of dumb things leading up to this. So I start reciting, like, the Lord's Prayer. And I'm just grabbing and holding and reciting the Lord's Prayer. And I swear to God, I mean, it must have been, like, a minute or two, but it felt like forever because it didn't do anything to me. I was just there. And it had, like, this like cloth feeling to it. I can remember that. Like it had this weird texture to it. And I just kept reciting, and it sighed. It actually sighed. And from there, I black out and I wake up. And usually I have my bedroom door closed. So I woke up in my bed and, you know, that thing's gone. The feeling of that fear, of that immense fear, intense fear was gone. But I could hear stuff outside my bedroom door. I heard like footsteps and something rattling in my kitchen, like pots and stuff. And it took me 2 or 3 minutes, but I told myself I need to get up and check it out. So I willed myself out of bed, opened the door, and sure enough, all the sounds stopped. But from there, like I couldn't stop shaking. I whatever that was, whatever I went through, like I had to go, I went outside my apartment, sat in the chair, and I literally shook. Like if you're like cold and you get super cold and you're trying to recover and you're like going by a fire and you're just shaking, that's the kind of shaking I was going through. I mean, it was a perfectly warm, I think it was in the summer evening, but I was outside shaking for like 20 minutes. And it was like, wow. I don't know, 2, 3 a.m. I had to text a friend to calm me down. And I eventually, maybe like an hour later, went to go sleep on the futon in the living room, away from the bedroom. And I felt better, but I've never, ever had a feeling like that. I grew up, as I briefly mentioned, in this haunted house, and I've heard footsteps, I had voices talk to me, I've seen shadow people, and it's never left me with that feeling. And to this day, I've never experienced anything like that. Nothing else came from that. Nothing else has happened, but I will never forget that.
Now, let me ask you, have you ever thought of the idea, and I'm not saying this is the case, but have you considered the idea that it may have just been a really bad dream?
Yes, no, I definitely thought about that. Like over the course of since it's happened, I go back and forth and I just play back in my head. But there was just the feeling that I got from it. It's nothing like I've ever had, like nightmares and such. I've had nightmares, and like I said, I've had sleep paralysis. And where I lived previously, a few years back, you know, I wake up sleep paralysis and have things talk to me. And those points, like even then, I remember there was some sensations that were similar, but it was nothing like this. This was a completely different experience for me. I don't want to say that I was entirely awake, but I do believe in, spirits talking to you or trying to get a message to you in your sleep. And mm-hmm. I feel like maybe this is somewhere in that mid state. So I leave it there. At this point too, I haven't challenged anything anymore. I think I've learned my lesson. Like, oh, if someone tells me something's creeping them out, I'm like, well, good luck to you.
You have my sympathies.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I've been doing this show for 9 years, and I've never said, hey, whatever's bothering you, I hope that they come and bother me. You're a better man than I am. You're a lot more brave than I am. I also know, and you mentioned it, you're an illustrator, you're an artist. Do you have a website or something if you want the folks to go and check out your artwork?
Oh, yes. If they want to check out my artwork, I go by JTA or Jeremy the Artist, and it's www.jeremytheartist.com, or you can check me out on Facebook at facebook.com/JeremyTheArtistGuy.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your support over the years, being a Plus Club member of the year, and also listening to the programs and now contributing this very unique campfire story. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Jake is on the line from Los Angeles, and even though it's not Halloween, he's got a great Halloween story and about what he confronted during that. And he says it's a wild one, so buckle up, folks. Jake, welcome to the program. Tell us what happened.
Jim, good to talk to you again, my friend.
Good to talk to you.
Here's what went down. It was Halloween, and my mom took us, the whole family, which is, I don't know, 20, 30 people, to this castle. I forget what town it is in Ohio, but it's they rent out this castle and they do ghost tours.
Mm.
So, you know, they show you around all these places that are supposedly haunted. There's a tour guide, and I didn't think much of it. I thought, yeah, whatever. It's probably not going to be very exciting.
Right.
I never expected what happened to happen. So the guide is taking us from here to there, and there's a woman in the group who's really drunk. And as the guide's trying to explain things like, oh, this is the room where such and such happened. It's supposed to be haunted. This drunk woman keeps interrupting the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And is being very rude and is just hammered. And it's like really kind of, there's like 20 people in this tour,
uh-huh.
and they're all kind of they're getting upset with the woman because they're trying to listen to this man's presentation.
Right.
Well, the tour goes on, and she seems to be getting worse and worse. Every stop we make, he'll take us out to this little well in the back, and she keeps interrupting him. She won't let the guy tell us about the well. He takes us back into the graveyard where supposedly all this supernatural stuff happens. She, again, starts interrupting the guy, won't let him talk. There's 20 people in the group. They're all getting upset. She's basically ruining the tour for everybody. There's a couple of tombstones, a tall one and a short one, right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this is a mother and a daughter that both died here on these premises. And this is their tombstone. This is the mom's is the big one, the daughter is the little one. And mind you, very strange things are happening at every stop.
Right.
At the well, my friend got an EVP on his iPhone, and it was like a growling and laughter and all this stuff that wasn't present. We kept hearing chains, like out in the woods, you could hear chains clank, and there used to be slaves there, so that I thought that was interesting. And there's nobody out in these woods. This place is in the middle of nowhere. I know there was no, you know, shenanigans going on. So the drunk girl, sits down on the little tombstone. And I said, hey, can you not sit down there? That's pretty disrespectful. And she says, "F you."
Oh, my.
And I said, well, you know, I'm just saying that I don't think that's too cool to sit on somebody's tombstone like that. That's not a chair.
Right.
She said, I do what I want to do. You don't tell me what I sit where I want to sit. I'm not afraid of ghosts.
Yeah. Famous last words.
Yeah, exactly. So the tour guide pulls a flashlight out of his pocket and he puts it on top of the big tombstone next to her. And he goes, I just want to try something, everybody. Bear with me here. He says, if you're upset that she's sitting on that tombstone, can you please turn this flashlight on? And a little trickle of light, a little tiny trickle of light comes out of the flashlight.
Huh.
I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting, right?
Right.
So somebody else says, hey, get up. That's not cool. The flashlight went on. Don't sit there. He says, I do what I want. You people don't tell me what to do. This ghost. I ain't afraid of this stupid ghost. F you, ghost. And I kind of snapped, Jim. I kind of got a little upset and did something I shouldn't have done. I said, all right, if there's any ghosts here and you want me to punch this woman in the face, turn that flashlight on. The flashlight turns on full blast.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
As bright as a headlight, and everybody in the whole group was just like, whoa. So later, I'm upstairs. We all go to the bar, and I'm telling my older brother, Mike, I go, dude, some weird stuff went down there. I think I was communicating. Oh, I forgot to tell you. And then I asked it a couple more questions, and it was communicating with me by turning off and on.
Huh.
I would say, hey, if you're real, turn the flashlight off. It would turn off. Okay, turn it back on. It would turn back on. It was very strange. So I thought maybe there was something going on. I go up to my to the bar, and I tell my brother about it. He goes, okay, well, that had to be the tour guide had a special flashlight, and
right.
He was tricking you. And this is all shenanigans, and it's all bull. There's no such thing as ghosts. You got worked up for nothing.
Right.
I said, okay, fine. You know, you're probably right. I agreed with him. So my nephew says, hey, why don't we try something? Your mom's got flashlights in the car. She always has emergency flashlights. Let's grab one and try with one of her flashlights. I said, hey, that's good, and probably nothing will happen, and that'll be that. We'll debunk this whole thing. We grab a flashlight. We take it down, and my brother's with me, the skeptic who doesn't believe in ghosts, and again, I put my mom's flashlight on top of this tombstone, and I said, hey, it's me again. I'm sorry to bother you. I was just wondering if you're still here. The flashlight turned on immediately.
Huh.
And my brother was like, whoa. And I mean, we got EVPs from this place. We got half the people there were skeptics, and they were all kind of rattled. It was a very interesting night. I wish I could remember the place. I'll have to, I'll text you later with the name of this place.
Okay.
But it was very interesting, and I absolutely think that there's something strange going on at this place. It was worth the money to go on this ghost tour. We definitely got our money's worth.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, that woman who did that, now, on one hand, you shouldn't do that, obviously. I think all of us who have reached a certain age, or I wouldn't say all of us, but most of us, including yours truly, have maybe had a little too much to drink, and maybe we did or said some things that we would have regretted under normal circumstances. So I don't want to be too hard on her, but probably not a very smart thing to go around and provoke ghosts and you know, basically swear at them.
Yeah, I don't know if she thought that maybe it was bull and she didn't think that anything would happen, or she just was scared, or I don't know what she was thinking, but it definitely, the sense that I got from how bright the flashlight came on when I asked that question was that they were not, that whatever was there, whatever, if it was a ghost or whatever, it was not happy with the way she was acting. It was pretty crazy. I actually have it on video. I'll send it to you.
Cool.
It was pretty weird, Jim.
Yeah, it sounds pretty weird. Now, one thing I want to say, now we got the ghost story, and you provided us with a great ghost story. I know you are both a podcaster and a comedian, and if you'd like, tell folks where they could check all of your stuff out.
I have a podcast on iTunes called The Road to Ruin, and it's a travel podcast, I have interesting people on telling their travel stories. And I'm doing comedy at the Comedy Spot in Flagstaff, Arizona, May 13th and 14th.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, there you go. Well, thank you. And maybe you'll run into some more ghosts in your travels. And thanks so much, Jake. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next up is CJ from Kentucky. He's been listening for a couple of months, found us on Reddit. Of all places, somebody there recommended us. So, folks, if you're on Reddit, I've always felt that I need to do a better job over there and spread the word. So if you like the show and you like what we're doing, please spread the word, because then we find fine folks like CJ who not only listen to the show, they also contribute with a story about a spooky, spooky home and some strange goings on. CJ, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us, and tell us what happened.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Okay, so I used to live in a little area called Powell County. It's in the middle of Kentucky, really small area. We lived in a cabin, and this is probably 7 or 8 years ago is when we used to live there. As a kid, it's kind of hard to explain the house. It's basically like it was a two-story house, except for the second floor only covered half the house. And that was a little attic area, which I eventually made my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that time, I used to always feel really weird in the house for the longest time. I could never really place what caused me that feeling. Well, I was about 12 at the time, and I was lying there. And at nighttime, I mean, this was a constant thing. I could hear footsteps, and it's kind of weird because the way the house is set up, there's one stairway that leads to the upstairs, and it's a metal spiral staircase. And it's mm-hmm. in the very corner of the house, yeah. And my bed was positioned in the end of the room where I could see the staircase perfectly. So if anyone would come up the stairs, I could see exactly who was there. And then especially if they made it off the stairs into the little loft walkway area, I could see whoever was there. At night time, I'd lay there, and I'd hear footsteps. I'd hear somebody walking up the stairs, and I was like, oh, you know, my dad's coming up, or my mom. And whenever I'd look up, there would be nobody there. And I could still hear the footsteps coming up the stairs, and there was visibly no one there. Well, I could eventually hear the footsteps get to the top of the stairs, step off onto the loft, and then walk toward my room. I could hear the footsteps walk into my room, and then I could hear the footsteps right next to my bed. And, of course, I'm laying there as a kid. I'm freaking out under the cover. So I finally peek my head out because I feel this presence, like something that's watching me. But there's nothing in my room. So I get up, I turn the light, I look around, look under my bed. There was no one there. I check the closet, completely empty. So I thought, okay, you know, maybe I'm just exaggerating. I'm going to go back to sleep. Well, that same routine persisted for years. Well, that was the extent of my experience in the house, but I would always feel this dark presence that it made me so fearful laying in that bed that I felt like something was watching me, that something wanted to hurt me in that room. Well, my mom, I used to always tell her about this, and of course, my mom's as big of a skeptic as I am. You know, my dad's a pastor, and you know, we've always believed that, you know, people die, you go to heaven or hell. So we don't really believe in ghosts, but we've always believed in, you know, angels and the demonic, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, you know, she would always tell me, "Oh, you know, you're worrying. You know, you're just scared. Go back to sleep." Until one night, she was in the room with my dad, and they were both dead asleep. Well, she said that she had a dream that somebody was choking her, you know, so she kind of woke up from, yeah. You know, freaking out. But she said when she woke up, the feeling didn't stop. She could feel somebody's hands around her neck choking her. And she said she wasn't able to breathe, and so freaking out, she started swinging her arm over and hit my dad in the side of the head, you know, thinking it was him.
Oh, boy.
of course, my dad, he was passed out of sleep, and he didn't have a clue what was going on. So he woke up and had to my mom. And by the time, you know, she told him what all had happened, you know, but he got up and turned the light on and checked, and she had big hand marks around her neck. And so, I mean, so for, you know, for a couple of years, you know, after that, you know, we prayed over the house, and that was pretty much everything that had happened until probably a year or two after that, whenever they were dealing with a lot of custody issues with my birth dad. My dad said he told me a story, and he had just come out to me recently about this when I told him I was going to be on the show, and I was, you know, telling him the story that I basically just told you. He said that he was in the garden, and I'll try to load an image to the Facebook group so I can show exactly where this is.
Okay.
But behind the house, there was an old garden. And, yeah, this was toward the end of the year, so we were getting the last of the everything that we could out of the garden. And he said that he felt this just really deep sadness. He said that he felt depressed and then anger, and it was just the worst feeling he'd ever had. And he said he couldn't explain where it came from. So he was out there, you know, in the garden working, and he all this just dark energy was just, you know, messing with him. So he said while he was working, he saw something move out of the corner of his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And when he looked up, to this day, he can't describe what it actually looked like. He can only give, like, an example of what it looked like. And he said it looked almost as if a man was crawling back and forth along the yard at the end of the garden.
Oh, my.
But as if, like, the man had broke his back and was crawling almost like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. That's the example he used to me. Yeah, he said it looked, but he said as he looked at it, he said he could tell it wasn't actually a man.
Right.
But he had this feeling of dread come over him. And
oh, my Lord.
And he swears to this day that that was a demon.
That's frightening. And the thing with your mom, with the handprints around the neck, do you think maybe it was tied to some, it sounded like your family had maybe some issues with custody and those kind of things you talked about. Do you think it was a negative energy surrounding all of that, all the family angst? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I know during the time of all that stuff going on, and of course, you know, there wasn't, you know, barely any time when my parents weren't stressed or freaking out over, you know, the stuff that my birth dad did. But so, I mean, I believe that probably played a large role in it.
Right. Well, but, it's frightening. And it sounds like, I mean, you're on Reddit seeking these things out. You're listening. This has kind of created an interest for you through your life.
Oh, yeah. Like, this will, I mean, that, you know, those situations are what got me started into investigating, you know, paranormal stuff.
Well, I thank you very much for being on the show, CJ. It is a very spooky story. And, you know, again, thinking that you had a demon lurking around your house and choking people, pretty scary stuff. Now, it sounds like, did it all just go away, or did you guys move, or what was the resolution?
As far as the events in that house go, I mean, that was pretty much when it came to a head, and we eventually just sat down and all, like, my dad and my mom had a couple of their friends and the pastor of our congregation come over and pray for the house, and, you know, that seemed to pretty much stop everything there.
Mm-hmm.
But last week, it was actually crazy. Whenever I had signed up to, you know, be on the show, I was sitting there, and, you know, I had apparently got the dates mixed up, and I was thinking that my call was going to be last week. So Tuesday, I was sitting there, you know, just getting everything together, you know, make sure I had all parts of the story.
Okay.
And I was home alone at this point. My parents, they had gone, my dad was, he had to take my mom to the hospital for a checkup or whatever. And as I was laying there, I was sitting there, like, on the couch, and I heard a door slam in the house. Mm. Well, the thing is, it wasn't, it was in the basement. all the basement doors are locked constantly because they lead into to the out backyard where anyone could just come into the house through there. So we keep them locked all the time. There's no way anyone else could have got in there. No one else has a key. And all my family, they were in Lexington at the time. And so I walked down there and and it was weird because I had that same feeling of dread walking into that basement that I'd had, you know, years ago in my room. And I couldn't find a single door that was closed that shouldn't have been closed, a door that was open that shouldn't have been open. I mean, there was nothing there.
My goodness. I tell you, it continues to this day. Well, CJ, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us your stories and spreading the word over at Reddit. We really appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed this edition of A Campfire as much as I did, and I hope that you'll check out my Paranormal Plus Club. We have a spring sale going over there. You can get your first month for only $3.95. Hey, check it out. And of course, go over to casper.com/campfire. Use that promo campfire and get $50 off your purchase of a Casper mattress. It's fantastic. You'll have sweet dreams even when listening to The Campfire. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.